welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm Margaret Gray, thank you, General, and we have Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman as well, and Mr. Hendry.
Hey, Bud Dickman, it's Robert Leonard.
You already said so, man.
Send a text, yep, you know I'm not...
Anyway, yeah, that's Bud Dickman.
Yes, no, I already said...
You said this is Phil Hendry.
That's Bob Leonard, not Bob Leonard, but I'd like to be called Robert.
That's Robert Leonard. Yes, and I'm Phil Hendry, and that's Bud Dickman.
Yeah, that's Robert Leonard.
Are you guys screwing around now?
Can you do this again, please? Because it is my job. That's Robert Leonard.
You're pointing at me.
That's Bud Dickman.
Don't point. We're on the... Hi, folks. Phil Hendry here.
Well, I don't know.
You don't know, huh? This is... You're on a podcast, and they don't hear nothing.
Are we not... Is that not a video cast right there?
Yes, of course it is. All right. Anyway, welcome to the show. Phil Hendry Show here. That's a podcast. This is a pod... That's a camera there.
Oh, is it really? Get a load of this guy. He's telling me.
Well, we know it's a camera.
All right. And we're on the camera right now, and it's the Phil Hendry Show. All right. So today, I'm excited to tell you that Ted Bell will be with us. And Ted's going to be talking about... What is he talking about anyway?
Well, it's a video. I think it's the... what do you call it?
What they call it, the soccer. Right, I mean, the football.
Oh, yes, the football.
Yeah. Ted Bell has got some idea that he wants to buy into the Premier League of English soccer. See, Ted, like me, I watch a little bit of that stuff.
Yeah, Mr. Ender, your favorite team's what?
Well, my favorite team is Everton.
Your favorite team is what?
Everton.
What the hell is that? Is that... That's one of the...
That is one of the... Don't be disrespectful, General. The Everton... that's the soccer, right?
Yes.
Yes, it's very ancient. It goes back hundreds of years. And...
It doesn't go back hundreds of years. It goes back over 100 years. Everton is a... team that I got to watch, didn't watch him, but I got into it in Liverpool because...
Is this the one? I'm saying you almost got your ass kicked, right?
Yeah, Mr. Hendry almost got his ass kicked.
What is that supposed to mean?
Oh, I walked into a Liverpool bar. It was a bar for one club, and I was wearing an Everton scarf that somebody had given me. And one of the Everton, an Everton fan saw me going in there, and he pulled me out of there, and they took me down the street to another bar.
They took you down the street to a what?
To an Everton bar. That's what they do, man.
Yeah, but they didn't call a bar, Mr. Andy. They called a pub.
Yeah, they called a pub.
Oh, that's right. You don't call it a bar.
Yeah, you call it a pub, and I went down to a pub, okay? Although I have to tell you, it was a wine bar. It wasn't really a pub, you know?
A wine? Oh, God almighty. I've been to those wine... Those places are deadly. Deadly as living hell.
Well, that sounds rather... What is a wine bar? Where they just serve wine, I imagine.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you think? You know,
I don't know, Robert, whether they mean by wine bar, or is it a wine tasting?
No, it's just a place. They have other drinks, I think, but primarily they have wines, and the drinks they have are all mixed with wine. I think it's probably because they can't get a hard liquor license, you know?
Yeah, like they have a wine and a bar license.
What do you mean a wine and a bar license?
Talking about a beer and wine license.
Yeah, right there, that's what that is.
Yeah, well, that could be what that is. But anyway, yeah, so I got to know these guys. Very nice guys, and for all I know, I probably could have walked into this Liverpool, but I better not say.
Yeah, you don't know, Phil, you don't know the lay of the land over there. Those people over there, boy, they are kooky. Let me tell you what.
What are you talking about, the English?
No, the English. I'm talking about the way those people and their pubs. That's what it's called, right?
Yes, they call it, it's short for public house.
What's that mean?
It means that it is a public house. The public is welcomed. I don't know what it means. But it means, I think, Phil, that the public...
Yeah, who knows? Public, the pub is... It's public.
Yeah, public. Yeah, okay, it's public. We got that. But what is it? You know what else is public? An outhouse. Oh. So what the hell?
Well, that was uncalled for.
Well, that's what it is.
I'm sure. Not going to an outhouse to have a cocktail.
Wouldn't you like to know?
All right, so the, Jesus.
Well, I mean, that's public. See, when you talk about the public, right?
Well, what were you saying about, the English?
No, look, the English are great people. Don't get me wrong, but they've got the way they view the pubs and everything. God almighty, you don't mess with their pubs because, friend, they won't find you. You know, when they finally do find you, it won't be the way you looked when they lost you. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you're saying that's rather violent.
I would say so, yes.
All right,
What are you laughing at?
I mean, just the idea that... What am I going to do to disrespect a guy's pub?
How about just walking into one?
Get him here. Think so.
All right. Well, some of these people, you know. I remember I went into a bar once. I told a story. I went into a bar in Cayman Islands, and
now the Cayman, that's what do you call that? The Caribbean, right?
Yeah, that's the Caribbean. And it was a rugby bar. There was a rugby match on a rugby bar. All these guys in rugby paint on their faces and shit. And that's the only time I ever went into a pub or a bar. It was in Cayman. And all these guys were English bankers. I mean, the only motherfuckers, excuse my French folks, the only effers that live over there that are European. Everybody has money on that island, you know. And especially if you're European, you got dough. And these guys probably were all a bunch of freaking... I don't know, bankers and stuff, you know. But this cat's attitude was a little... But, I was with my girlfriend at the time, and I didn't want to cause a scene. I didn't give a damn if I was...
Well, what did they do?
No, they didn't do anything other than just said, hey, keep moving, man. You know, like, you can't come in here. This is our pub. And I never thought of it at the time, but the girl that I was with was black. And the way this guy just sort of shuffled me along...
Well, you're saying that these limeys didn't like the fact... There was a black person, huh?
You shouldn't call them limey because that's racist.
What do you mean racist, man? Talking about not a white man, not the all white people are limey.
Say that again.
Not all white people are limeys. How'd that be racist?
It's racist against the English, isn't it, Phil?
What are you asking me? Of course it's not. It's not racist. It's an insult to their nationality. Okay? And so it's not racist. It's not. It doesn't qualify as a racist thing. It's not even, I wouldn't even call it, it's kind of an insult, but it's an insult based upon nationality, not ethnicity or blood or anything like that. And to that extent, it's hurtful. But, you know, it's something technically that you can do something about. I don't have to be from, I can move, you know.
Wait a minute, you're telling me that a guy's got to move and so therefore you might as well suck on it? Get out of here.
Yeah, you're saying the guy got to suck on it.
I ain't saying anybody's got to suck on anything, okay? And don't say it, all right?
Well, yeah, you're walking right into it.
Look, Phil, you can drive up to whatever alley it is you want to go down. But you're the guy getting out of the car and walking down that dark alley.
What dark alley?
To suck on it.
Yeah, all right, guys.
Well, then you know what I mean.
No. Frankly, I don't know what you mean.
Oh, my God, Phil, you went... like that.
Yeah, just notice it, Mr. Ernie.
Good for you. Write down all those incidences and those moments when I go or anything like that, okay?
Yeah, seriously?
No. All right, so today we have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's going to be talking to us about that. Then we also have Steve Bozell, and I was looking for this story, and I'm glad that I found this story because this is nuts, Margaret. You see this?
Well, it's very overblown. There's a woman that was allegedly, or I'm not allegedly, but apparently it is true. Excuse me, can I have some of that water?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's much better.
Jesus H. Christ.
I'm sorry, but I do have my diaphragm. And what I mean by diaphragm is I'm not talking about birth control, Phil.
Yeah?
Well, what are you looking at?
I didn't think you were. You're talking about your breathing?
Oh, so I'm too old to have a baby, is that it?
Would you come on, Margaret?
Margaret, you're really beginning to sicken us.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So your diaphragm what?
When I clear out my lungs before I sing a song, because there was a song that I wanted to sing today, having to do with in tribute to the Chicago Cubs, who, as you know, are going to the National League Championship, and the Chicago Cubs are going to it.
So you're going to sing a song in tribute?
Yes.
What's it called, Ms. Gray?
It's called 26 Miles Across the Sea, Santa Catalina is Waiting for Me.
Wait a minute, what's that got to do with anything?
That's where the Chicago Cubs used to train. Oh, got you on that one, didn't I?
Oh, that's true, General. The Cubs used to train right out of here in Catalina Island.
Well, you're kidding. Well, I knew that old man Wrigley owned it. You're telling me that's the same guy?
Yeah, that's the chewing gum guy.
Yeah, the guy that owned the chewing gum owned the Cubs? Sure did. That was the,
Phil, you sounded like you're doing Mr. Wizard. Sure did. You know...
All right, Margaret, any other comments?
No.
All right, so...
God. Hey, Phil, just ease back, okay? Everybody's having it's just a big, fat... This is a joyride, all right? We're trying to sit down on it, make sure it doesn't, you know, wedge up there too much. Well...
Yeah, Phil, we're trying to sit on it, and hopefully we won't slide off the seat onto the bar. Well, that's... You know, you're right.
Yeah, there's no clean way of saying it.
Clean way of saying what?
This show is a joyride.
Just say it's a joyride. What are you...
The people are going to think we're talking about sitting down and getting comfortable on something that's more vertical than it is.
You just said whore.
Horizontal.
All right, so we'll think about that one, because I'm not even sure I understand what you're saying. But Ted Bell is with us today to talk about the English soccer. We have Steve Bozzella's. Margaret was going to get into the story.
Well, I can still tell you about it.
No, but we'll just say that it is the lady that is suing her, or was going to sue her nephew. And then we have also Chef Carl Cedilia, right, bud?
Yeah, we got Chef Cedilia.
Cedilia.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chef Cedilia.
You know, I don't like the way he pronounces that.
Why is that?
Well, the whole chode thing.
All right.
You know, a lot of people don't know what a chode is.
And never mind. So we're going to have, what?
Yeah, Chef Cedilia will be on a show today, and he'll be talking about
making chode loaf. No, give me that. Meatloaf. He has not even talked about this yet. And we were going to have him on 9 million times.
Is this the same nut that was going to talk about this turkey meatloaf?
The same nut?
It's Chef Cedilia, General.
Oh, Chef Cedilia. Never heard of him.
He's been on the show about a half a dozen times already.
I don't know anything about
it. All right, so Chef Cedilia is going to be on with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as well. All right, let's go to the traffic now. We got Bob Bacon, and Skyboy is also out there with us. Let's see, Bob, what's it looking like?
Well, Phil, he's out there right now. I'm armed and dangerous here as we're flying over the 405 field. We go down to Skyboy on the west side of Jim Bennett. But let's take a look at what's happening to the South Bay right now. If you know down these, here's a pair of very, very serious pair of hairpins, and there's a hairnet down there that somebody lost. You're lucky to get your hairspray probably up the compound and find yourself with a can bound, and you'll be bound the cannabis. Up here on the Clapham Freeway, going up that 605 on the San Gabriel River Freeway, the beautiful high saves, the people are down, the man sailing along, and I saw a guy fall out, and he was going right down there. I think they set the drain pipe and the tail. Let's go to the west side of Skyboy.
I think my mom on phone, not by my mommy's out here, and I can't live on here, and I got her with my pants, and I don't even want to die anymore, because I'm going to get my pants. And then I want to do this one, so I found it down the front there, and I got this thing right there.
Hey, Tyler, what about that cat?
Yeah!
Famous Phil Henry Show and Phil Henry Show. Damn. Johnny made a record. Let's see if Ted Bell is with us here, and I believe that he is. Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted.
Steakhouse.
Really?
Come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Up early here this morning because the Henry Show wants to drag me out of bed. Not a problem, Phil. I'm not complaining. But come on down to Ted's in Beverly Hills. As you know, we have the English soccer on Saturday mornings. We've got football, American football on Sunday at...
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Boy, if there's nothing truer than that, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And we've got some of the most delectable and some of the juiciest and saltiest and cured with tender as a mother's heart is the way we do it here at Ted's in Beverly Hills. Hi, everybody. Ted Bell here from Ted's in Beverly Hills, where we've got the meats that are cured. We've got the great... am I going to be talking to somebody, or am I just doing a pitch?
No, you're talking with us about the Premier League.
Oh, the Premier, yes. Well, let me just say this. Let me to lead up to that. And I want to, first of all, good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
And Margaret?
Yes, good morning, Ted. It's good to be talking with you.
And the General there?
Yes, Ted, I'm right here. How are you?
I'm doing great, and Bud and Robert?
Yeah, we're right here.
Yeah, how you doing, Ted?
I'm doing great. You two young guys, I'd appreciate it if you call me Mr. Bell.
Well, I mean, I just turned 22.
You just turned 22? I don't know. I still think Mr. Bell...
All right, Ted. We'll call you Mr. Bell.
Not you. The two younger ones. They call me Mr. Bell. The three older ones call me Ted. All right?
Okay, fine.
Okay. The only reason why I'm saying, Phil, is I enjoy having, I would say, the respect... that comes with having owned a business for the length of time that I have, because, Phil, today is the day, almost 36 years ago, that I took over the operation of Ted's in Beverly Hills and eventually did become the principal owner, but I took over managing and the primary operation of Ted's in Beverly Hills on this day. Almost 36 years ago.
Now, what does that mean, almost 36 years ago?
Well, because it was almost 36 years ago. What do you mean?
On this day, almost 36 years ago?
Yes. Is there a specific date?
Yes, today. What is it? Hold up for a minute. Isn't this right, Benny?
Yeah.
Yeah, October the 15th, almost 36 years ago. Well, you don't get it.
No, we don't get it.
Now, did you say about 36 years ago?
No, almost 36 years ago.
Almost 30. So what if it was exactly 36 years ago?
Okay, what about it?
Well, what date would that be?
I don't know. I'm telling you that today, almost 36 years ago, get a load of this. I'm talking to a guy on the phone.
Ted, talk to me. We're on the air.
All right. I don't know what to tell you.
All right, well, so on this day, almost 36 years ago,
I took over principal operation at Tenure Beverly Hills. And it was on this day, by the way, that I had the idea for an adjunct to Tenure Beverly Hills. There would be a tunnel leading underneath the restaurant, underneath the street out here, Cannon Drive, in Beverly Hills. And it would lead across the street to the Smoker. And that was going to be what it was going to be called. And then they had the Smokehouse in Beverly Hills. I thought, well, you got to tell you what. Why don't we call it the Link Smoker? And someone said the Pool Smoker. And I said, that is a great idea. And then I found out, no, we better not.
But they call it Pool Smoker.
Because of the sausages they were using. And I said, well, how about Pool Smoke? Because somebody here is a subscription to that bag of Zape.
Look, Bell, do you understand what you're saying?
Yeah, I do now. Yes, I do. Yes. At the time, though, I didn't.
Well, it is patently obscene.
What? He was patently. Did you hear your voice?
Yes, I did hear the voice, and it's very early for me, Phil, so...
Oh, it's very early, and I've told you this a million times, to get some hot water or something, some lemon juice. But can't we get some hot water for Ms. Gray and,
Get some hot water and some lemon juice, Ms. Gray?
I would very much appreciate it, yes.
Yes, ma'am, right away.
Oh, boy, what service, huh?
Well, I'm performing when I'm on the radio here. Now, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure, certainly, Ms. Gray. Whatever you'd like, Ms. Gray.
Well, Ted, if you're going to be sarcastic...
No, I'm not.
So you had a magazine that someone there was getting called Pool Smoke Weekly. Is that right?
Yes, I did. And I'm saying that I'm not proud of that. That individual doesn't work here anymore. It was back when I was in my 20s. It had nothing to do with me, but I thought, all right, I found out later what it meant. And, of course, we were getting all kinds of laughs. And
well, what did you actually put...
Phil, you just went, woo, 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 woo. I'm trying to stay with you here, Phil. I'm trying to hang with you. But when you go, woo, 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 woo...
Never mind what I said. I'm asking you, did you actually hang a sign out in front of the restaurant that said Pool Smoke?
It was called the Pool Smoker, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Well, absolutely, but I didn't know. I didn't know any better. My father was hospitalized. If you must know, my father was not long for the world at that time.
I'm sorry to hear that, Ted. I was just curious.
All right. And it was one of the guys that worked in the kitchen, and he had Pool Smoke Weekly. I said, you know what? That sounds like a great, let's call it the Pool Smoker. Well, the next thing you know, I've got people driving by honking and laughing, getting out of their car and getting their picture taken in front of the place. And I'm thinking, this place is a hit. Well, guess what? They weren't coming in. And I said, you get your picture taken. And then I found out what it meant, and I was mortified. And I swore up and down, I swore to, you know, God. And that's when, Phil, I had that, as you know, we had a large, the family had invested a lot in gold because it was the recession in the early 1980s. And I said, I got enough gold, which is in a vault here in Los Angeles. I said, let's make that statue now. I was talking to my father at the time. And he said, it's a good idea. So I made a gold statue of myself and put it in front of my house that I just bought. And that was going to be my, if you will, offering to God to say, good Lord, please don't ever let me make that mistake again.
Now, this was a gold statue of yourself.
Yes, that is correct.
How is this an offering to, and that sounds like something right out of the pagan rituals of the Bible.
Well, no, it wasn't. The pagan rituals of the Bible.
You had a statue made of yourself in gold.
Yes, and now it's the same statue, but I added Marcy and I added Josh, added my wife and my son.
Is this out in front of your house?
Hey, wait, hold on for a minute. We're not here to talk about the gold statue.
All right, but you got a gold statue of yourself in front of your house, and you originally put that out there to as an offering to God so that you would never again make the mistake.
Yeah, I'm waiting, Phil. I'm not getting upset or anything.
So you're not ever going to get... You see, you're not ever, not never going to get... You know,
what is he? What language is that?
So you're not ever again going to make the mistake of naming a restaurant the Pool Smoker.
So that I I would not again do anything that would be so obscene and so offensive to people. All right? No, it wasn't. I didn't go to God and say, "Dear God, please make me smarter so I don't call a restaurant the pole smoke." God, what is...
Well, look at Bell. The whole effect of this is the same thing. You were being religious and you were worshipful to God.
Yes, that is correct.
So what is it with you making a statue out of yourself? That's our only question.
I thought it would be received with... Look, I'm not a religious man, but I thought that God would appreciate... Look what I... See?
Yeah, it's a statue of you. You remember what the Bible says about false idols?
Oh, get out of here, false idol. Get a load of... Hey, Rudy, there's a guy here.
Will you talk to me, please?
My valet's just got in.
All right, that's good. You can go talk to him later.
All right, look, I'm not a religious man.
Well, Ted, I think anyone that is religious would tell you that that is an utterly asinine and very disrespectful thing to do.
All right, I am now duly noted on that, okay?
Almost 36 years later, now you know.
Well, you're not telling me I got to take the statue down, because that's not going to happen, okay? I got that gold statue in front of my house. Everyone knows when they drive by my home, that's Bell's place. There's a statue of me out front with the wife and the kid and a dog. It's in gold, and I'm wearing sunglasses. Okay? My Oakleys? The one that you got so pissed off about?
Yeah, I understand.
Uh-huh. So that ain't coming down now. But I did say, and at that time, of course, my son was not born yet, but I told myself if I'm ever blessed with a son, if I'm ever blessed with children, God, don't ever let me disrespect my family so much. Oh, God.
Now, Bell, I know it's very emotional.
No, I got to go through this. Don't ever let me disrespect my family so much that I call the place the Pole Smoke Weekly.
The Pole Smoke Weekly?
Well, that I name it after a magazine. And, that's not right.
Okay, so Ted Bell is with us here, folks, on the Phil Henry Show. Let's take a break and get back. We'll be right back with you, Ted, okay?
Well, so you're going to have this right in the middle of Pole Smoke...
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Yeah, is that Ruby Keeler?
Yeah, sure. Ruby Keeler.
Hey, buddies, Bud Dickman reminding you to support our Phil Henry Show podcast. And by supporting the podcast, by signing up for a BSP, you get a massive archive of Lions games, a classic podcast, Saturday show, Friday night chats, exclusive pre-show prep and commentary and HD video. And share the podcast with a friend and with a family and also on social media.
Thank you, Bud. That's right. Just support the podcast by signing up for a backstage pass. You get a month, you get a year, but get it.
Don't miss.
Ted Bell joining us here on the Phil Henry Show this fine AM. I have no idea. So, Ted, all right. We're back here with Ted Bell. So, all right, so let's get to the point of this whole discussion here. This having to do with, I don't know how we got sidetracked.
Well, we're talking, it was almost 36 years ago.
Yeah, almost 36 years ago that you took over operation of the restaurant. What was the eventual name of this place?
Well, it became the Smokers, you know, Phil, and then it became what's across the street now.
Oh, it's TB's.
TB's, yeah, Ted Bell's.
And it's called what?
It's called TB's. It's called the TB Ward.
What are you talking about, the TB Ward?
Now what's wrong?
TB, tuberculosis.
Ted Bell! Oh, how could you possibly do that, Henry? Now you've got everybody...
When did you name it?
I just renamed it 2 weeks ago.
How many different names has this place had?
I don't know, probably a couple of hundred.
All right, Ted, you know, I'm not going to tell you how to run your business.
No, that's one thing. Thank you very much. Get a load of this. The guy said...
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you how to run your business, but I will tell you, the TB Ward, that's a...
Where did you hear TB Ward?
I don't know. I was watching a Western or something, and I said, "Well, that sounds like, you know," and my wife said, "Well, you might want to sit down and figure out exactly what it is they're talking about." And I said, "I don't have any time. I got to get out the door. I got a meeting. I got all kinds of people I got to meet." And at the time, you know, we weren't doing too good, so there was a, you know, I better not say, but there was a broad I was meeting. I don't want to be indelicate, but there was a broad that I was meeting at the Beverly Wilshire.
Okay, Ted, so now we know the history of the, what's the name of the restaurant now?
I don't know. It's called Ted's Hot Dog Stand, I think. What do we call the hot dog joint? Sausage. Oh, it's a sausage place now.
So what's it called?
What's it called?
Ted's Hot Dogs.
Ted's Hot Dogs.
Okay, so, all right.
Or no, Ted's Red Huts?
Ted's Hot Dogs.
Ted's Hot Dog?
Yeah.
Well, why is it called Ted's Hot Dogs?
Ted, you didn't want it.
I'm sorry, I'm talking to Elver. He's Rudy's nephew.
Ted, you didn't want it?
What, do you want to put him on the phone?
Come here, Elver.
You said you didn't. Good morning, Mr. Henry.
Good morning, Elver. How are you?
I'm good. You said you didn't want it.
I didn't want what?
You said it. We said we'll call it Ted's Hot Dogs. You said make it Ted's Hot Dog.
We singularized it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's right. I did.
Why did you do that?
I don't want to get into it. It has its purpose.
I know why you did it.
Please don't tell me it's because you wanted to be a bit salacious.
Not salacious, but I wanted to give the an impression, you know, come on in, it's Ted's Hot Dog. You know, in other words, if when it comes to hot dogs, when it comes to eating Link, there's only one guy with the swinging meter.
By the way, that reminds me of something. Why is it that...
Are you talking to me?
Hold on. What is it with Bob Bacon?
Bob Bacon is Bob Bacon with 9 pounds of swinging meat, but he's breaking in his Sky Boy.
He's breaking in Sky Boy, huh?
Is everything around here some sort of a quasi-offensive and obscene remark?
I'm not doing anything. They asked me about Ted's hot dog.
Okay, so it's Ted's hot dog. I'll be sure to stop by.
I don't care. You don't have to stop by. I think the place is going out of business. We haven't been able to make dime one with this place. You know?
Then you're making good money, though, with Ted's.
Oh, hell yeah, we're making good money with Ted's. Wouldn't you like to know? I'm talking to a guy. Never mind.
Yeah. So, Ted, let's talk about the Premier League, the soccer, and what your interest in it is.
Well, I'll tell you something about soccer, about English football, Phil, that is fascinating to me. And I was talking to Chris Dunphy. He's the one Dunphy brother that doesn't hate my living guts and want to beat me up. He's the younger Dunphy brother. And
in other words, he's the one that you don't owe any money to.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Anyway, how about a little bit of respect, because I am paying for the airtime.
Sorry, but I mean, you brought up the name. The Dunphy brothers, those guys, Jesus. How many times have those guys kicked your ass?
I don't keep track, all right?
Probably a lot of times, though, huh?
Yeah, probably. Anything else?
Go ahead. So you're watching the English League?
Well, we're watching it one day and said, you know, these guys are made out of money, Phil. That English Premier Soccer League, I don't know how many people in your audience watch it on a Saturday morning. I get up in the morning on a Saturday and I come into the restaurant, and because we start, you know, we've got our eye-opener special at 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings. And
now, what is that?
The eye-opener special is we open the bar at 8 o'clock, and we have some of the... But don't get the wrong idea. I'm not opening the bar up to a bunch of people with the shakes, okay? This isn't a bunch of guys, not a bunch of Skid Row winos. These are top-drawer, top-shelf people from the Beverly Hills area. I have people that are professionals. I have people that are...
Well, are these professionals that have the shakes?
I beg your pardon. Oh, man.
Well, all right, since 8 o'clock in the morning...
I'll ask it again. Are these moneyed and well-known professionals who need a drink that early?
Well, you know something? If they needed a drink that early, they can always go to the well-stocked liquor supply that they have in their mansion. Oh, what do you think this is, anyway? Maybe some of them do. I don't know.
Well, all right, but 8 o'clock in the morning, you open the bar.
Yeah, I open the bar. What's the questioning for?
No, I just want to know. So that's when you start watching?
Yeah, that's when we start watching the game. It's a $3, what we call the Ted's $3 eye opener. $3 shots, and, you know.
Okay, so, I mean, that's why people are getting the wrong idea.
Ted, it just sounds very, these are very inexpensive shots of liquor.
Very inexpensive shots of liquor that you're having at Ted's of Beverly. Are you trying to tell me that I'm opening up some kind of a rescue for a wino or something?
Well, it's kind of weird.
Never mind. You can do what you want to do.
Thank you. And if some of my clients, some of my customers come in and they don't have a steady hand, hey, it's not my problem. Maybe they're coming back from a party. Maybe they aren't home yet. Maybe they decided to get out of the house because their wife is nagging them. I don't know. But I can tell you, everybody that comes to my restaurant, all the guys that come in for the eye-opener at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, they could just as soon go back to their well-stocked liquor cabinets, the well-stocked bar they have at the pool. They could go and have the DTs and delirium and hallucinate lying near a pool. They don't have to come into my place. It just so happens they do.
Because they like the company.
I guess so. I guess they'd rather trip out on seeing bats and mice and, you know, I don't know.
All right, so enough with that. You're talking to this guy, Chris, what's his name?
Chris Dunphy.
Right.
And Chris Dunphy, which, by the way, one morning when I was talking to him, he couldn't lift the shot glass to his lips. He was shaking so hard. And I said, are you cold? And he went, ha, ha. And as he spilled the whole shot, I poured another one, and he spilled that. And I said, obviously, you need a drink. He said, yeah, one of these days when I get it to my lips. So I held his hand, and...
What'd you hold his hand for?
Now, what's that about?
I held his hand so the shot wouldn't spill.
All right, Ted, this is getting depressing, man. What do you got, guys, coming in there on Saturday morning with the DTs?
No, I got very wealthy people coming in who may be seeing bats and squirrels and stuff like that.
Maybe bats and squirrels.
Hallucinating.
All right, so now you have wealthy people and they're hallucinating bats and squirrels and they're watching soccer.
Yes. And after the first three or four shots, they're okay. So we're watching soccer. And I said to Chris, well, will you look at that? And he said, yeah. And I said, you know, these guys make a lot of money over there. He said to me, some of these teams are worth $4 billion. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. I know that Manchester United is worth a lot of money.
Phil was talking about this the other day. And they have the big sponsorships.
Yeah, well, that's exactly my point. Now, I said to Dunphy, I go, how do we get a piece of that? He said, well, these guys are really wealthy. And I said, I understand that, but let me tell you something. You see that shirt the guy's wearing? One of the guys was playing, and he had a shirt, and I looked at it, and it was that Everton team that you're talking about, Phil, right?
Yeah.
And it said Chang's, okay? And
what's that, Chinese food?
No, it's beer. Beer. It's a Chinese distillery. It's a Chinese beer company. And I said, could you imagine seeing that with Ted's?
Boy, that advertising's really expensive over there.
No, I know it's expensive. I know it's expensive. But I would love to have the opportunity. Because over in England, you know, we think we're so hot stuff with all of our commercial instincts. In England, especially in the soccer that they play over there with that professional league, they have advertising opportunities for all kinds of people. And you can buy advertising inside the stadium. You can buy advertising on the uniforms, you know.
Well, that's the difference between America and England is we don't commercialize everything.
Oh, man, what a load that is. Are you kidding me or something? We commercialize the living hell out of everything.
All right, well, but there's a tradition, it seems, where we don't put advertising on uniforms.
Oh, yeah. Do we feel better about that? What's that, to make us feel like we're real squeaky clean?
No, I think it has more to do with the perception. Especially since the early the betting scandals, you know.
What betting scandals?
You never heard of the Black Sox?
You mean the White Sox?
No, they were the White Sox, but they called them the Black Sox.
The Black Sox.
Shut up, man. Shut up. The Black Sox scandal was in 1919.
1919? I'm talking about the present. I'm talking about something that is an ancient prehistoric history when there were dinosaurs dying in mounds of their own dung and tar. I'm talking about when people walked upright. I'm talking about...
This isn't that long ago, Ted. It was the end of World War I, and there was a betting scandal that got a lot of guys thrown out of the game, and it got a lot of guys in trouble, and it really marred the game, and it marred the public's perception of sport in America. Now, it may be different in England, but over here, we have this sense that any moment, athletes can be bought.
Well, maybe we ought to get our minds out of the gutter a little bit.
Well, what does that mean? I think Phil's making the point here that we feel that young players, young athletes, or maybe not such young athletes, are very susceptible to the wiles, to the wiles.
Yeah, Margaret, I understand. You don't have to do that.
I'm pronouncing the word, to the wiles of professional gamblers. And hence can be corrupted. And that's the worst part.
You get these guys hanging around. You've heard about all these point shaving scandals.
I've heard about all that stuff, okay? You know, just because a guy... So you're telling me that if someone has Ted's of Beverly Hills on his jersey, that guy is as crooked as the day is long? Oh, man, I gotta tell you, that's an insult to me. That's an insult to Ted's hot dog. Well, it doesn't exist. It's not Ted's hot dog anymore, but I guess I'll change the name, huh?
Yeah, I would if I were you.
Well, if we were getting business, I'd say that would be an insult to my hot... To the restaurant called my dog. I mean,
To the restaurant that's called your hot dog.
Yeah, my hot dog. No, Ted's hot dog.
That restaurant I don't want to hear any more about, okay?
Yeah, but it's called...
I don't want to hear any more about it, all right? It's your hot dog restaurant that's going belly up, as far as you're telling me.
Yeah, that's right, Phil. You have to rub it in.
All right, well, then don't rub in the whole Ted's hot dog thing.
All I'm trying to say is 9 pounds...
All right, I got an idea. Why don't you call it 9 pounds of swinging meat, since Bob Bacon isn't using that anymore?
No, I think Bob is using that, Phil.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to run afoul of Bacon, especially Sky Boy. Jesus. You're giving me shit, you know?
What's that supposed to mean?
What is that supposed to mean?
What is it supposed to mean? You got Bacon up there flying around every morning. Every morning with somebody called Skyboy, and you don't know why you never bothered to ask what's going on up there?
Get out of here, will you?
Okay.
All right. Hey, what's going on up there anyway?
Yeah, you go ahead and laugh, Phil, but I'm telling you right now, you've been giving me a whole ration of bullcrap here about different business interests that I have, and now this whole thing with the Premier League.
Look, at the. I hope and I pray that you get involved with it, but I think that it is a very expensive proposition. There's no question you're going to need a lot of money. And if all you want to do is buy ad time...
Well, no. I want a piece of the team. That's what these guys are doing. The guys that own that Manchester United, they're the same guys that own the Red Sox, right?
No. That's Liverpool.
Who owns... What?
The guys that own the Red Sox own the Liverpool team.
Oh, all right. Well, who owns that Manchester United?
I think that's some other guy. I don't know who it is.
Oh, some other guy. Well, let me tell you what, Phil. I think there's an Arab that runs one of them, right?
There's a lot of bread in that Premier League. There's no question about it, because there's a lot of money that is made over there. It's a very rich league.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, and that's why I said to this guy Dunphy, I said, we need to shoehorn our way in there. I'm going to have some extra money, Phil, because since we're shutting down, since we are shutting down the Ted's Hot Dog, we're going to have extra dough, and we're going to have a, is that it?
Yeah, we've come to the end of the segment.
All right, well, we're going to have to, since I've shut my hot dog down.
Steakhouse.
Sorry.
Come on down.
Hey, everybody, Ted here from Ted's in Beverly Hills. Don't forget, every Saturday morning, we got our $3 eye-openers, and we've got English Premier League soccer on the tube this coming Saturday, Vardy Everton. Phil, will you be here?
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, too bad, because I won't be up that early. So what I'm saying is that...
Well, we're all done with the segment.
What I'm saying is that the Everton game starts at 5:30 and I don't open till 8. Oh!
That's all right. I tape it anyway.
All right. Yeah, we're done.
He's not supposed to hang up.
Yeah, that was the end of the segment.
You allow him to hang up on the segment, don't you?
Well, okay.
Let me call him back.
Don't call him back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
From the El Pacifico in Southern California, you're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is revolution. All right, y'all. Milwaukee Lions football is ahead, and I believe that the Lions will be playing, if I'm not mistaken, I think they will be dropping the game on Sunday now. Now, I did speak with the Milwaukee Lions front office, and I spoke there to that Rocco Hartstock guy.
Yeah, Mr. Hartstock is the director of the communication.
Yeah. Anyway, Rocco Hartstock said that, yeah, sure, they'd be happy to make the show available to us live so long as we pay their rights fees, and we've negotiated that. So now, on Sunday, instead of Monday, Sunday, the Milwaukee Lion game will be dropping, and this Sunday it's the Lions at home against the Tucson Tequila.
All right, so they're playing at home, huh?
Yeah. They're 2-3. They lost the last game to Portland. Portland is kicking ass, man. That's unbelievable. But check it out on our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. For those of you with Backstage Pass subscriptions, the Milwaukee Lion game drops on Sundays now. And you'll be able to hear the game almost immediately upon its live broadcast. So make sure you get, if you do not yet have it, a Backstage Pass subscription.
Get a Backstage Pass subscription of PhilHenryShow.com. That's PhilHenryShow.com.
All right, man. Steve Bozell is a good friend of ours. And as you know, he is a man who has spoken at times on our program about lawsuits. Steve is actually on his way to a job site in the Diamond Bar area, where Steve lives in Corona, California. Diamond Bar is down to 605, is it, Steve? Or
actually, down to 57.
Down to 57.
Yeah.
All right. Steve, what is the story here? And it's made the news. It sounded like it was a silly thing, and then it got to be really crazy. A woman suing her nephew?
Well, the reason why I brought this to your attention is because a number of years ago I'd been on your program, and at that time I had told you that I was suing my daughter and I was suing a parakeet for calling me names. And
now the lawsuit against your daughter had to do with a dog.
You know what? You're right. You're right. The dog that my daughter had, which I had purchased for my daughter as a puppy, and at that time April Jr. was not more than a six-year-old girl, and now it's 10 years later, so she's,
she'd be 16.
Well, no, she's not that old.
How old is she?
My daughter is now 10.
10 years later, she was six then.
I forget now how old exactly. But I had got her a puppy. She was young enough to walk around with a puppy dog and pretend like it was, you know, her kid and all that. And you had a bonnet on it and all that.
Okay.
How old would a kid be then?
Was it? She's a little girl. It probably she could be anywhere from 5 years old.
Yeah, maybe she was five or something. But I remember her reading Last of the Mohicans. And
oh, what difference is? Okay, so she was a little girl and she had a puppy.
Yeah, she's a little girl and she had a puppy. And I said, "How are you doing, honey?" And she said, "Thank you, Daddy, so much for giving me the puppy." And of course, my daughter now is the one that squeals on me, rats me out, man.
That, oh, yeah. So she's a middle schooler now.
Yeah, she's a middle schooler.
And she goes to this very liberal school, right?
Well, it's a public school, but it's a public school here in Corona called CK Corona Middle School, which is, you know, they've got a high end of they got a lot of brain power there. The kids that go there are some kind of super brain kids. And I had told my wife at the time I was not comfortable with that. And she asked me why, and I said, because I don't like the idea of concentrating kids with the super mind and the, you know, they've got the super brains in one area.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, I mean, it's a little uncomfortable to think of children, 11, 12, 13, because they're getting into that age group where they begin to look around and they go, hey, you know, I think I might want to take myself a little bit of a bite out of this world here, you know. And before that, they're sort of dependent on you, and they still are dependent on you. But when they get to be about 13, they kind of cast their eyes around and go, you know what, this all is looking pretty good to me. Maybe I don't need him so much as I'm going to just head on out here and take a taste of this world, you know.
Well, isn't that normal?
It's normal if you're a normal kid, but if you're a super kid or you got a brain on you that's already, you know, I mean, it's a high intellect, you know. I think that it's almost like that Village of the Damned effect, or Children of the Damned effect, you know, where you got these kids with minds that are melded together if they're hanging out too much.
But look at Bozell. This is General Shaw. Excuse me for interrupting you, but what are you talking about?
General Shaw, sir, you're always interrupting me.
Yeah, yes, I am always interrupting you because, you know, you're coming. What are you talking about, the minds meld together?
I'm talking about when you're a kid and you've got a, and you're super smart and they put you in a school with other super smart kids, the minds begin to meld. Okay?
Well, what do you mean the minds begin to meld?
What he's saying, Phil, is that these young people begin to see life in a similar way. They may, in the mind of Mr. Bozell,
they're talking about how they're going to pool their powers.
Exactly. They pool their powers. Okay?
What is this? Some kind of a comic book or something? We're talking about little kids in a school, and my understanding, don't they call that a magnet school?
Yeah, they call it a magnet school for kids that are, like, really brainy.
You got that right, really brainy. You put them all together, and what have you got? You got a kid walking out of a school, staring at a man, and the man gets in his car, and he drives it into a wall. Now, you've seen that happen on that movie.
Look at Steve. I don't know how many times I'm going to have this conversation with you, dude, but, you know, that's a movie.
Okay, dude. Well, whatever you say, dude. You know?
Hey, Steve, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, okay?
All right, but don't. I'm not dude. I'm Mr. Bozell, or Mr., as the general says, Mr. Bozell.
Okay, Bozell.
You know what? I wish I could. I'm going to pretend like I'm hanging up.
Go ahead.
God, I hate all of you. Goodbye. I'm Steve Bozell. There, I'm still here.
Good. Steve, we're talking with Steve Bozell.
My name's Steve, not Sturd.
Steve Bozell is with us, and we're talking with him about a lady who sued her nephew because this little boy jumped into her arms, an exuberant thing for a little boy to do. And it hurt her. Now, what people are not getting about this, and it doesn't surprise me,
that she sued the parents using their homeowner's insurance, right?
Exactly. This was not a lawsuit against the little boy. She was going to sue the parent. I guess it was her brother or her sister. She was going to sue them. But the law said you had to name an individual in this particular state, and I think it's New York State. So she named her nephew.
And that's kind of what I wish would have happened to me, but it didn't. In California, we don't have that law. We don't have a law that says, well, you can sue a little kid, and then when it comes out, it's the law. You don't look like as much of a big, you know, as my little girl said at the time, a big giant doohead, you know, and that hurt a lot when she said that. And
what hurt? That she called you a doohead?
Yes, ma'am. I mean,
Well, that's a little girl talking.
Yeah, a little kid's going to talk that way.
Well, little kids are going to talk, but what if she called me a giant...
A big shithead?
Yeah, what if she said that?
Well, she didn't. She called you a do-head.
Okay. And I have no rights in the matter?
Hey, Bozell, are you talking about having rights because your daughter called you a do-head or because you wanted to sue her?
I had to sue my dog. Look, the dog urinated all down the front of a brand new Fruit of the Loom wife beater. I call it a wife beater. So it's
a tank top.
Yeah, it's a tank top, but in those days. And this is a brand new 100% cotton Fruit of the Loom. Okay?
This is a T-shirt.
No, it was a tank top T-shirt that I just bought a four-pack of, and it wasn't cheap. And I lift the dog up, and it pisses on me.
Oh, brother.
No, not old brother.
All right, we're not going to judge you. So then what?
Then I called up Dolores Blasingame. She said the best thing you can do is file suit against the dog by proxy. The dog is what caused the urination. And I said, what's that? She's your daughter. I said, okay, then what? I said, can I recover damages? She said, you can, but it would be, you'd be recovering the damages from where your daughter gets her money. And I said, that's pretty much me or her mother. She said, well, then you'd be suing yourself. I said, well, what about if she only gets her allowance from her mother? She said, well, then the mother is the one who would be up for grabs. I said, but her mother gets her money from me too. And I said, no, wait a minute. Her mother also has her own job. And that's when, I'll never forget, Dolores slammed her fist on her desk and she said, that's it. Now go, now get out of here. She kicked me out of her office. And I said, but you're saying I can sue my wife and it won't cost me? She said, yeah.
Nike, let's just stop, okay?
I know what you're going to say. You're going to say the whole thing's up the ass or up the butt, you know?
Didn't say you're the one that said up the ass.
Yes, watch the language, but it is the, and I'll use the word butt. The whole concept of this, Steve, is right up the butt, all right?
Okay, it's up the butt. But at the time, it seemed like a viable. Now, guess what, ma'am? Here's a woman suing her nephew.
All right, but the story is is much different from the way it came out. See, most people haven't got the brains that the good Lord gave a decapitated fly, if you want to get right down to it.
Jesus H. Christ.
Man, you kidding us, Henry?
No, I'm not kidding. A lot of people...
What does that mean, decapitated fly?
A fly without a head?
Oh, yeah. That's dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb, all right. And what they're going to do is they're going to blame this woman. Well, what she did was, now she said, and I'll read the story to you. She said that she never was comfortable with the lawsuit. She said that she was on the Today Show along with her nephew, Sean Turalla. She says she wanted her nephew's parents' homeowner's insurance to pay her medical bills, but under Connecticut law, she could only sue an individual. A jury this week rejected her $127,000 suit. Connell and Sean sat side by side and said they loved each other. Connell said she was shocked by the backlash. Sean defended his aunt, saying she would never do anything to hurt him or the family, adding everybody was saying stuff that they didn't know. Well, that is true, but...
But she did.
Yes, that is absolutely true. She sued the family for the $127,000.
I think it probably had to do, if I may just speculate, that she suffered a wrist injury. It was a broken wrist. And that she needed to have the medical bills paid for.
Well, there you go. No health insurance, and she has to have them paid for, so...
Well, and how are you going to do that? You don't want to get no Obamacare, because that, in my opinion, is unconstitutional and wrong. But if I don't have no health insurance, and I don't want to go get Obamacare because I feel, in my heart of hearts that it's socialism... Now, how do I do it, okay?
Yeah, how do you do it? So you go ahead and you sue your sister or your brother-in-law, is that it?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Well, that's what she did, and all these...
All these brain surgeons now, probably most of these people, think Obama's some kind of a commie.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's a commie.
Well, let's not get into Obamacare, okay? I mean, obviously, all you have to do is look around and you can see the need for medical insurance, whether or not the government is buying it or whether you're paying for it or whatever,
Yeah, I just don't want nobody telling me that I gotta have it.
Okay, you don't have to have it. Now what do you do?
Then I would go get it.
And what if you can't afford it?
If I can't afford what?
The medical insurance, for Christ's sake.
I would... Well, I would sue.
Yeah, you'd sue.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, You know, I'm not the one that's all jacked over in the brain. Sounds to me like you could use a little, you know, maybe some medical advice on.
Look, Steve, I'm fine, okay? So that's what this woman did. And so to that extent, I agree with you.
Yes, but that's not why you sued your daughter and the dog. You sued your daughter and the dog for mental cruelty, didn't you?
I sued my daughter and the dog for the emotional cruelty that had put me... Yes, I did, because it was an emotional... It was an emotionally cruel time. It was a very cruel time for all concerned, is all I'm trying to say. And so I did what I had to do. I did it to the best of my ability. And may God have mercy on my soul.
Yeah, okay. I don't know where we're going with this, but anyway, thank you for commenting on...
Mr. Henry, don't make me look like an ass. I mean, it's right there in the news.
No, the reason why we had you on, Steve, is to give us some insight into this. And this is actually, when you look at this...
So in other words, that lady sued so she get a medical insurance.
Yeah.
Why didn't she go get Obamacare?
I don't know, man. This was 4 years ago before there was Obamacare. And I guess this is something that you couldn't get it. I don't know. I have no idea. But the fact of the matter is she needed the medical bills paid, so she sued, and now everybody was jumping her for being a douchebag. And
well, they didn't call her a douchebag, I hope.
I don't know, Margaret. I'm just saying that...
It was just being descriptive.
All right.
So that's what happened. And it turns out she needed to have these medical bills paid. And by God, she, got her medical bills paid. All right, we're going to be coming right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. Chef Carl Cedilia.
Yeah!
We're going to have, what is it?
Well, I think he has, this is the turkey meatloaf with the jalapeno. And yeah, Chef Carl Cedilia, folks, next on the Phil Henry show.
Famous Phil Henry show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Be right back. If you visit our YouTube channel, go to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/ /The Real Bud Dickman. You can see full shows there. You can see clips of the show. You know, you can sort of check it out from the standpoint of the video thing. That's the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman. Also, we mentioned that we're going to be at the Sketch Fest in San Francisco in January. I know I'm a little bit premature. I'm not premature, but I'm a little...
a little bit ahead of the game there.
Yeah, a little ahead of the game. But nonetheless, we are going to be at the Sketch Fest in San Francisco in mid-January. And I'll give you the information. I got it someplace.
Well, they sent along the theater. I think it's the theater that you were in the very first year, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm not mistaken. I say again, if
you're not mistaken. All right, so that is where that is at. All right, folks. Time now on the world-famous Phil Henry Show for our good friend, Chef Carl Cedilia. And we're going to be talking today about turkey meatloaf. Chef Carl Cedilia. Chef, how you doing?
Good morning, Phil, and good morning to everyone. Chef Carl Cedilia here from the kitchen at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I was going to have myself come on the program a little bit early, but I know that Ted was out there for a while.
Well, it's good to talk with you, and what are we making today?
As you said, we're going to be making some turkey meatloaf, and
Is Ted still there, by the way?
Yeah, he's running around here. Hey, Ted, you took him off. Who is it? Phil Henry. Oh, I don't want to talk. No, he doesn't want to talk to you.
Oh, okay. I was simply going to say to him we were going to stop in for lunch, but now tell him forget it.
He said it was going to stop in. Hey, Phil, Ted Bell here. How you doing?
Great. We're going to stop in for lunch.
Fantastic, Phil. I think that's good.
Get him,
Yeah, Chef Carl? Yeah.
Today, thanks, Ted. Did he cut me off? Thanks, Ted. How long are you going to do this cooking segment? Because I want to get you back to work.
Hey, let me tell you something, sunshine. I'm telling stuff about bull.
What?
I said I'm going to do what I do with a bull.
I can't understand a word you're saying. God almighty, would you stop with the sour cream this early? Fuck!
I just breathed on him.
Yeah, okay, so what are we making today?
We're making today, this is going to be your turkey meatloaf, Phil, that I've been telling you Excuse me for a minute. I just ran out of... yeah, there we go. Excuse me, Phil, but we're going to make turkey meatloaf today. And this is the recipe that I've been telling you about. It's called a bunch.
I love the idea of turkey meatloaf with jalapeno. Just, it sounds very, very healthy.
And it's very spicy, too. Now,
I would guess so. So are you cutting up the jalapenos? And...
Wait. Well, hold on for a minute, man. Let me give you the recipe for...
Yeah, all right. Sorry.
I'm an artist, okay? And what I do is art. And I try to bake the turkey, all right?
He's getting very excited. Chef Tegelia, this is Bud Dickman.
Yo.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. He's getting excited. When he gets excited, he starts to cram more cheese into his mouth.
I'm going to have cheese slices.
All right, I'm sorry to upset you, Chef.
All right.
You can ease back on the cheddar slices.
Okay. Now, what we have is 3 pounds of ground turkey meat.
All right, 3 pounds of the ground turk.
What is that?
Margaret's going to be repeating the recipe so people can write it down. Is that okay?
Yeah, but what's with the Denny Bracken 3,000 of the ground turk?
I happen to have enjoyed Denny Bracken back in the day, and if you don't mind.
All right, you know what, Chef? Let her have her way, okay?
All right, fine, I don't care. All right, so Margaret, you're writing this down?
Yes, I am. We're on with Chef Carl Cedilia.
Right, and so what we need is 3 pounds of ground turkey.
All right, 3 pounds of the ground-up bird, ground-up gobbler.
I don't know that I like her saying ground-up gobbler.
Well, you just come on, man. We're running out of time.
All right. Then you need 6 very spicy the jalapeno peppers, fresh.
6 spicy little hangers. Hello?
Chef?
You know what? This is creeping me out with the hangers.
All right, Margaret, just read the thing. Just...
I beg your pardon.
Just write it down, please.
All right, 6 jalapenos. There, do you feel better?
Yes, much better. Then what you want to have is a red onion and a half of a red onion.
1/2 of a red onion.
And then make sure you've got 4 or 5 cloves of garlic.
4 or 5 cloves of fresh garlic.
Fresh garlic. You're going to want to squeeze that garlic using a garlic squeezer into the meat. Now wash your hands. Make sure your hands are clean and make sure you haven't been... You'd be surprised.
Got to make sure you weren't wiping your butt or anything.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be wiping your ass and then immediately going into the kitchen, especially wiping with your bare hand. Jesus, how stupid is this guy?
Look, at Dickman, will you just shut up?
Of course you wash your hands.
I thought you were serious.
Me too.
I am serious. I didn't think I had to say it. Oh, my God.
All right, so make sure your hands are washed.
Yes, make sure your hands are washed. And, Ted, why do you have Ruby Keeler on this early? Turner Classic Movie.
What?
Turner Classic Movie. Turn that off, will you?
Tell me what to do. I'm Ted Bell.
And I'm Chef Carl Cedilia.
Turn it off.
All right. So what you do, Phil, is you chop up the red onion. You chop up the peppers, obviously. You squeeze 6 of those cloves of garlic into the meat. Throw in the peppers, throw in the onions. Now, you will want to use a little bit of cumin.
All right, some cumin, huh?
A little bit of cumin.
And also, you'll want to salt very lightly. Now, you're not done yet. You mix this all together in a bowl, and then you shove that into a, you know, a little bread pan. Looks like a meatloaf pan. Cram that all in there.
Cram it all in there?
Yeah, look, I don't have time. Just stick it in, okay? And if it sounds sexual, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to get through this. He's got a luncheon coming up with a bunch of broads. He's got some ladies coming in from the flower club at noon, okay?
Hey, where's all his appetizers?
Hey, Ted, ease back. All right, now what you do is you want to make a little bit of a topping. So you take some ketchup, you take some apple cider vinegar, and take a little bit of brown sugar. You mix that all together. And you turn that into a little bit of a topping there for your meatloaf. So you're sort of painting the top of the meatloaf with this ketchup mixture.
Now this is going to go on the top of the meatloaf, and before you obviously cook it.
Yes, that's right. It's going into the oven at 350 degrees for 1 hour and 15 minutes. Preheat the oven at 350, 1 hour and 15 minutes, and if you choose to, I would suggest cooking maybe 5 minutes longer, but when you take it out of the oven, Phil, you cover it with the foil and let it sit for a couple of minutes as you prepare your table. And I'm telling you, this is the most delicious meatloaf, very healthy. It's 3 pounds of ground turkey is not more than 2,000 calories. You can eat 3 pounds of ground turkey a day, and if that's all you ate, and you'd only be getting whatever the hell it is. I forget. What did I say?
2,000 calories?
Yeah, 2,000.
2,000 calories. Now, I should do that because I'm so overweight, I even disgust myself sometimes. However...
Now, this is, I'm sorry, but I'm watching the same movie you're watching. This is a little man dressed up as a baby.
Oh, that's not a baby?
No, that's a man dressed as a baby, and he's roller skating, and,
Okay, fine. Are we,
What are you people doing?
I'm gonna say, we done with turkey?
Oh, you're right. I mean, what am I doing in here?
Hey, how you doing, baby?
Oh, get your hands off of me. Ow!
Oh, she kicked me in the nuts.
Get out of here.
I'm sorry, Phil. I got lost in the phone.
Wow, that really takes some balls, I'll tell you that. Well, I can tell you this much. I have never in my entire life been so offended by somebody coming through the phone on me. And is that my theme music?
Yeah, this is your theme music.
And this is Chef Coach Adilio saying, bon appetit. Now I got to get a bag of ice for my balls. You know, this. What happened? I got kicked.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, Chef.
What?
See you later.
So what?
Chef Carl Cedilia with the turkey meatloaf, ladies and gentlemen, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, Chef, thank you very much, and thank you, Ted, and thanks you guys. Did we finally catch up on everything?
Yeah, that's it.
Now, these are the guys that you were supposed to... Oh, we didn't. You don't have Danger, you fool.
We weren't going to have Danger on.
Oh, you were going to have Danger on, and you got Steve Bozell.
All right, folks, we will see you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Tomorrow, it's going to be Kenny Slag Day here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Kenny Slag's Principles of Abundance in the 21st Century.
Not that, idiot. You're not having that jackball back on.
Yeah, why not?
The guy's nuts. That guy belongs in a home. He belongs in a home, and you've got him on giving advice? God will not permit this to happen.
Well, I'm afraid God is going to permit it to happen.
Tomorrow, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Yeah.